So this evening, as Rob's already suggested, we're continuing our series on Colossians, not Galatians, I think, I hope. If not, we're in for a surprise together. And our framework about thinking about the passage that we've just heard read to us is the title Spiritual Fullness versus Empty Promises. So in my mind, I've kind of got a bit of a boxing match or a wrestling match pictured, where in one corner we have spiritual fullness, and in the opposing corner, we have empty promises. And a bit of a background to our passage, and this is something that you may have already picked up as we've started to journey through Colossians together. But this evening in particular, Paul is writing to the Colossian Christians, and he's encouraging them not to be drawn into new teachings, new in inverted commas, new teachings by visitors to their Christian community. And there's some debate among biblical scholars as to what these new teachings may have been. And it seems like the kind of main contenders are that some believe that this new teaching that the Colossian Christians were being exposed to was some sort of hybrid of Judaism and paganism, and somehow had been put together to form a toxin that Paul was preaching or writing against in the passage that we're looking at. Some simply believe that it is kind of similar to Galatians in particular. It is just Judaism. And that they're people from the synagogue coming and saying, it's great that you non-Jewish people have become Christians, but that's just a first step, and the next step is to become Jews, to become fully Jewish, and to take some of the steps that demonstrate that. And then the final kind of option seems to be that some scholars have tried to just piece together by using the kind of the converse of Paul's arguments, what some of the teachings may have been. And so there's not really that much clarity, and you may have arrived this evening with specific opinions as to what Paul is writing against, the new teachings that he's writing against. In some ways, it doesn't matter whether we hold slightly different opinions, because the principles that Paul writes in encouraging people not to succumb to this new teaching, not to succumb to these visiting teachers, the principles remain the same, whether it be any one of those three options or perhaps even something different. So in the one corner, we have spiritual fullness, perhaps spiritual maturity. And really, our concentration for most of our time is going to be on the first two verses that we heard read to us, verse 6 and verse 7. And we're going to draw on that for this picture of spiritual fullness. Indeed, some have said that in these first two verses, we find a summary of all that Paul has to say in the book of Colossians. He says this, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Must be remembered, as we've said, we've got a kind of an opposing scenario going on. So everything that Paul has said, even in these verses, while they contain the truth of what he believes, they also contain opposition to what some of those who might be listening or reading his letter might have heard from elsewhere. So spiritual fullness or spiritual maturity comes first and foremost from continuing to live our lives in Christ Jesus as we received him as Lord. It's important to recognize that what Paul refers to as receiving Christ Jesus may not be what first comes to mind when we think about receiving Christ Jesus in our modern understandings of the phrase. I don't know about you, but when I came to faith, I responded to an appeal to let Jesus into my heart. To me at that time, that phrase made real sense. And I still hold to the fact that that Sunday many years ago was the start of my intentional Christian journey, although I believe that God in his grace was at work long before that day. But first and foremost, when Paul talks about receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, he's not referring to an experience of receiving Jesus as letting him into our hearts or letting him into our lives. But more fundamentally, Paul is talking about receiving the message of Christ Jesus. The Greek word that Paul uses and chooses deliberately is one that people would refer to when you receive information or receive a teaching. Fundamental to Paul in the receipt of Christ is receiving the good news of the gospel. It's not just a personal emotional response to say, I'll let Jesus to be in my life in some way, but it's a receipt to a set teaching of who Jesus is, of what he's done, what we call the good news. Jesus died, risen to life, ascended to glory. Paul dedicated his life to proclaiming, to teaching this good news. And it's this good news that Paul refers to time and time again. Paul demonstrates in this verse that the fundamental response to this message, to receiving, to being taught the good news of Jesus Christ, is the acknowledgement that he is Lord, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. The message of the gospel leads us to acknowledge the rightful lordship of Jesus Christ over all things, over our lives. So Paul says, just as you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. This picture of spiritual fullness comes as we allow Jesus to be the Lord of everything, of every decision that we have to make, of every course of action that's set before us, of every thought pattern that we embark on. Our finances, our ambitions, our prejudices, our families, our hopes, and our dreams. Spiritual fullness comes when the life of a Christian continues to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, just in the same way that we have received him. We've sung already this evening of the Lordship of Christ. And for the early Christians, for the people that Paul was writing to, this would have brought them straight back to their simple profession of faith in baptism. Simple but profound. Jesus Christ is Lord. That changes everything. And for us, as we continue on a journey to spiritual fullness, it should continue to change everything. It's not just a historic receipt of truth, receipt of Christ that we move on from and continue to live in an old way, but it's a receipt of Christ that goes on day to day, impacting our decisions and our choices. So Paul goes on to encourage, as you have been rooted, be built up. As you've been rooted, be built up. It might seem that Paul is maybe mixing his metaphors here, but I'm informed that at that time, the word rooted and the word that Paul used for rooted could well have been referring to the foundations that one lays for a house, as it could have been referring to a tree that puts roots down. So Paul is saying to his readers, to his listeners, so you've been rooted, be built up. And with this picture of foundations in our mind, that maybe helps us to understand how Paul is writing these verses as a challenge to the empty promises that some of his readers may have received from false doctrine. Paul is saying that the good news of Jesus Christ sets the foundations for our continued spiritual life. Week before last, it depends whether you count Sunday as the first day of the week or not. We can talk about that later. But just over 7 days ago, I was on holiday with my dad. And it's the first time that I'd been on holiday with my dad, just me and him, for, well, I won't tell you how long, but since I was 18. And as a large expanse of time normally does, and you reconnect, we were reminiscing. And one of the things we were reminiscing about was building a house in Botswana. As you do. And exactly. And just my encouragement would be to you, if that's something that you're considering doing, don't. But we decided, my parents were kind of adventurers really at heart, and they decided they were going to build a house from scratch. The problem was that we decided that we'd build a house too close to a river, and the foundation essentially took so much concrete that, first of all, it used up all of the concrete in the town that we were living in. So we had to wait for more delivery of concrete to arrive multiple times before we could continue the building. But secondly, it also used up probably about 90% of the finance that we had available, buying all this concrete to lay the foundations. But the reality was that the foundations couldn't be overlooked, because the foundations set the limitation and set the parameters for the rest of life. And it looks like that what people are being taught, what the Christians, the new vulnerable Christians, are being taught through the false teaching, through the new teaching that they've been received, is actually say, branch out, go and try something different, go and try something beyond the parameters that have been set by your foundation in Christ. Paul is saying, no, continue growing, continue being built up, but within the confines of Christ. Let Christ as the foundation set the parameters for our Christian life. I don't know much about building, and that house building experience in Botswana didn't help me along in knowing much more. But the reality is, I don't think that it's wise to try and build to the left or to the right of the foundation that you've set down. Christ is our foundation, and so we grow with him, with his word, with his teachings, with his life, with the truth of who he is, setting the parameters of how we grow, not to the left or to the right. So as we've been rooted in Christ Jesus, so we continue to be built up. And then finally, in these first two verses, Paul basically says, as you have been taught, as you were taught, be strengthened in your faith. For Paul, there is a marker of spiritual fullness, or a move towards spiritual fullness, in which we, those who are seeking to be spiritually full, desire to know more of the truth, to know more of the truth of who Jesus is, to understand more. This idea of faith that Paul is talking about here isn't faith as in belief, but faith as in understanding the teachings of the church, understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus, understanding that intellectually is good. Paul would never encourage an ignorance. Paul would never encourage a that doesn't matter our approach to our theology. Paul says, as you have received, as you've been taught, diligently taught by himself, go on being strengthened in your understandings of faith. Spiritual fullness comes when we seek to know more of who God is and who he's called us to be, not a neglecting of our responsibility, our devotion to Scripture, to understanding more of Scripture in the power and with the illumination of God's Spirit. And then Paul goes on to kind of quantify all of these things, or to say that the evidence of all of these things, these three markers of spiritual fullness, the evidence of them looks like a life that is overflowing with thankfulness. Some commentators suggest that this word overflowing with ... is something that the false teachers that Paul was writing against would have used. They would have said, actually, do you want a life that's overflowing with abundance, or overflowing with freedom, or overflowing with this or with that? Then follow our new teachings, because we have the way. But Paul is saying, actually, almost using their words against them, he's saying, actually, spiritual fullness is evidenced by a life that's overflowing with thankfulness. Maybe for us, that could be a question that we could ask ourselves in the quiet moments of this evening or in the week ahead. If spiritual fullness is evidenced by a life of thankfulness, by a life that overflows with thankfulness, how are we doing? How am I doing? How thankful is my heart? Or somehow am I bought into this teaching that actually I need to do more, I need to strive more, I need to try more? All of those things are good in pursuit of the good that God has for us, but they're not good if they're not from a thankful heart, and if they're not from a recognition that our pursuit is a pursuit purely of Christ Jesus, who has made righteousness available to us. So Paul goes on in the rest of the reading that we heard earlier to talk about some of the things that the false teachers, that the new teachings contain. and he opposes them. And one of the things that Paul is opposing is the fact that these false teachers, that these new teachers, are somehow claiming some sort of philosophical or earthly wisdom. They're saying, actually, listen to us, because we've got it all sewn up. We know how it works. We understand how the world works. And so we want to tell you the truth. But Paul is saying, actually, the wisdom that we have comes from Christ Jesus. And then, as similarly, potentially in Galatians, and it depends whether you think that these people are Jewish teachers, or whether these people are Jewish pagan teachers, or whether these people are teaching some other false doctrine. But there is this idea that we add to what Christ has done through taking on marks on our own body, be that circumcision or be that refraining from particular things. Paul is saying, no, Christ has achieved it all. All else will pass away. In verse 8, really interestingly, Paul says, see that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. This idea of philosophy is very different from kind of Greek philosophy, but just this idea of worldly wisdom. But this word that we've translated in our Bibles, takes you captive, actually is the word that is used for someone who would kind of kidnap or round up slaves. And there's almost an irony that Paul is presenting. He's saying, actually, the very people that are proclaiming freedom are actually going to kidnap you, and they're going to take you hostage by their earthly perceived wisdom. There's also another explanation as to that verse and why a fairly uncommon used Greek word is used there. And that is that Greek word sounds a little bit like synagogue. And there's a suggestion that maybe Paul is having a play on words and saying that the very people that are proclaiming freedom are those that are going to make you captive. And he's referring and trying to make a kind of play on words that sounds a little bit like synagogue. The reality is that we are not in a situation where we're being encouraged to take on elements of Judaism or encouraged to take on elements as we see it as pagan, of pagan beliefs and pagan rituals. But we're constantly surrounded by the pressure to take our eyes off Jesus, constantly surrounded by the message that we somehow have to try harder, constantly surrounded by the message that perhaps the gospel is really Jesus and something else. Jesus and my own efforts, Jesus and more attendance to church services, Jesus and this, Jesus and that. Paul would call his listeners and would call us tonight to say that spiritual fullness comes from recognizing that the gospel is Jesus and Jesus alone. And because it's Jesus and Jesus alone, our spiritual maturity comes from a faithful pursuit of him, of all that he's said, all that he's done, and all that he is. Everything else tonight stands before us as an empty promise. Everything else that asks for our commitment outside of the foundation of Jesus Christ stands as an empty promise. So maybe tonight we're being called back to the wonder of who Jesus is, the wonder of grace received, the wonder of mercy given. And as we go and proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, let's be aware that we're calling people to begin this journey of spiritual fullness, a journey that recognizes Jesus Christ as Lord and continues to grow in response to his Lordship daily. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that there is so much in this world that would have us try to change from the outside inwards. There's self-help, and there's this, and there's that. But we recognize that the good news of Jesus Christ tells us that we can be changed from the inside, that we can exchange death for life, that we can exchange a heart of stone for a heart of flesh. And God, we thank you that that's not a journey that is over when we say yes to the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's a journey that begins at that moment and continues into eternity. God, we ask that in your grace, you would help each one of us to continue on that journey this week and into the future that you have for each one of us. Help us to continue to live as those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen.